It has been 14 days since we last recorded.
14 days.
14 days.
It seems so long ago.
It is. That's a long time, Nick.
Yeah, I know. That's not right.
Mm-hmm. Shame on you.
Oh, we've been bad boys.
What's been up, man?
Oh, man. I don't think I've ever felt more burned out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why so bad?
Launching websites, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Poorly planned. You know, comes from the top down to the bottom feeders.
You know what they say, shit rolls downhill, bro.
Yeah, they also say you can't turn poo into gold. So.
Oh, my. That bad,
You get a pile of poo and it ain't going to turn into gold. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying. Trust and believe. My boss went to a corporate meeting this week.
Oh.
And they wanted all this ridiculous crap that I don't understand what has to do with anything. Like
what?
Like a picture of the office.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is this for like a PowerPoint? Or is this like, we want to install video cameras so we can always see you guys?
Oh, the hell if I know.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
Or is it just like, look at this team really working hard. Here's a picture of it in our PowerPoint deck.
I don't know. Apparently it has something to do with the fact that they feel if the office doesn't look a certain way, that it somehow detracts from the level of productivity.
Yeah, because what you're wearing really, really means that how dedicated you are coming in on weekends and nights.
Here's the thing. Here's what I understand, Nick. And of course, we're not going to say where you work or where I work, but here's the thing.
Sure.
Apparently, our margins are down a little bit.
Mm.
And so, you know what happens when companies don't make as much money as they hoped is they find ridiculous ways to figure out why that is the case.
Wow. That sounds like you're inches away from calling in a third party to do interviews with you and your team, to talk about morale and to see what the company culture's like. Maybe that's the reason you're losing X amount of money.
That's exactly right. How'd you know? We must work at the same place.
Or maybe not even you're losing money. You're, like you said, you're just not making enough for whoever you guys are answering to.
Yeah.
But are we spending money to bring in that third party group to do this? No, of course. This is all free, right? No. Oh, God. It's the worst.
We do actually have third parties that do come in and do certain things.
Oh, I'm sure. Hey, now you guys will be in a dress code. Think of it that way.
Well, look, apparently it's more important to pay third parties to do certain jobs than to provide adequate resources within your own company to do that same job.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
And what's going to come out of it is like, they need structured hours. They need structured uniforms. Like, really?
You're right. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Just because I'm saying, boy, this really stinks that I have to work Saturday night and Sunday night, and all of a sudden my days off are Tuesday and Thursday when my wife is not off. That stinks. Oh, well, maybe if he was in a button-down shirt with a tie, maybe that would help. Or you could go the other way where a lot of companies, not saying my current one, could be a previous company, all of a sudden they adopted the green, you know, the LED green status.
Yeah.
And everybody, instead of providing people a way to like better themselves and get more healthy, they just decided, well, we're not going to offer like, you want to get a gym membership. Well, we'll help you with that. We'll take, you know, a little bit of that financial burden off you, but we want you healthy because we don't want you on all these drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they want you to join the gym, not help you out. Like I said, this was a previous company. And then they also turned like the And I'm not a smoker. Believe me, I do not want people smoking around me. I have no interest in that. But where they put the smoking areas, you already feel like you're a rat or a weasel. Mm-hmm. The way they throw you out by like, oh, we're going to put you all the way away from the building over by the trash dumpsters. You know, it's like, oh, that's really nice. Thanks. But since it's green and they want you to be healthy, nowhere on this, you know, on the property can you smoke anymore. And if we find you smoking in your car, you can be written up or you can be thrown out. You can be fired. It's like, wow, okay, like that's gonna help that's a morale boost for a certain percentage of your workforce, I'm sure.
yeah. Well, here I'll give you an example. So we apparently the company has decided that we need more perks. It's one of the things.
Great. That yeah, sounds
absolutely,
great.
Absolutely. Here's the thing. People don't really care about the perks. So they created this app where everyone can join the app. And you can see all your perks and all the whatever discounts you get for working for the company, you know, like rent a car and hotels and this and that and the other.
Great.
And apparently they were tracking this.
Whoa.
So apparently they were tracking this. There's been a big push in the last week or two to get people to sign up for this thing so they can get their perks. And apparently the goal was to have 65% of employees sign up. And right now it's at like 15%. And so
50
part of
15. Oh boy.
And so part of this meeting that they're having at corporate is to figure out why people don't care to use the perks. Nobody wants the perks.
I would say the only people that possibly would want those perks are salespeople. Who are constantly in rental cars and they want upgrades for airfare and all this stuff, which they already get anyway.
Right. Absolutely. And I don't care about any of the perks. Like some of them I might use every once in a while, right? Like there's, there's one for like theme parks and stuff like that. Like how often do I go to theme parks? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm at work. Right. I can't go to theme parks.
Right.
So I can't use that. There's like obviously discounts for like cell phone service, like Verizon, T-Mobile, all that stuff. Guess what? I don't use any of those either. You know, I actually spend a whole lot less using the company that I use, which is Ting. I need to get an offer code. I'm going to contact Ting, and it's fantastic because I pay for what I use, so I don't have to pay like $50 a line unlimited, which I don't. I mean, that's fine, but I don't use unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of the companies in my house I can't use because I'm kind of in the country, so I have crappy reception. Well, guess what? With the company that I use, I can because I can just hook it up to my Wi-Fi. So, I mean, I don't even use that, you know? I don't care about any of these perks. I'm not going to sign up.
Well, this app sounds pretty good. I mean, it's crazy that that app was developed for free and is being supported for free. So that's a money-saving venture right there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, here's the other thing, Nick. I'm always very wary of free stuff. Even if it's a perk from within the company. Because my assumption is, because this came out of nowhere, that they hired some third party to create this app.
Yep.
And put everything in it. And I don't know what's in the app. You know what I'm saying?
But think about what you just said. All of that costs money, as well as how many people were going out trying to build these quote unquote partnerships for this app.
Oh yeah.
Like how many man hours? Like, and then they're wondering, well, why didn't we hit our money?
Well, here's the thing. We could access all these perks previously through the company website.
Yeah, through whatever your internet was.
Yeah. So what do I need a freaking app for?
Right. Yeah. Wow, that is some crazy spending right there.
It is bizarre. It is bizarre, let me tell you. When you work for a publicly traded company, they do some really bizarre things.
Oh, yeah. And my previous job was exactly that. Like, we were doing good. We were making money. We just weren't making as much money as the board member and stockholders wanted us to.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, it was like at the end of the year, all of a sudden, it was like, we need to reduce our workforce by 12%.
Right.
Well, I'm sure you can figure out where this story is going at my previous company. The following year, you want to guess how much the stockholders and board members wanted us to make? Let's let go another 12% of our workforce. And that just happened every year because once they got used to getting 12% back in their pocket, some of this stuff is just crazy. I just don't get paid enough.
Let's put a disclaimer on here since we're already kind of knee deep in this. This is going to be a serious episode. So if that's not what you want out of the show, then you can stop listening now. All right. If you're still here, welcome. Yeah, we're going to have real talk today.
Summer hammock, real talk. That app sounds horrible.
It is.
And then to think all of a sudden, you use the rental car service, let's say 6 times. Is somebody going to send you an email or talk to your boss and be like, oh, Martin's really using that rental car service quite a bit, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, are you going to get a shiny gold star, or are they going to be like, hey, let's calm it down over there. You've used it 6 times.
You used it 6 times.
You're taking advantage of this situation.
I mean, that's kind of my assumption on why they would put it in an app. Again, I'm very distrustful of these things.
Yeah,
because you know me, I love technology, but I'm very paranoid about technology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very wary of what kind of information I give out, and especially to a free app. Because, generally, if the service that you're using is free, the reason for that is you are not the customer, you are the product.
It'd be one thing if your company said, look, we're going to use this. We're testing this free app out for you guys right now. But you guys are our test case. And we're going to roll this app out and make it into this for our actual company. But we're getting you guys are the speed bumps. Then I would totally be like, okay, I can sort of see what you're doing. And you're giving us these quote unquote perks or freebies as an incentive to get us to go in there and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if they just developed it for employees, you guys either have a shit ton of employees or they just – maybe one of the boss's son said, oh, I develop apps. I would like to do this for you. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Junior got this big contract to develop an app for this company.
Yes.
It all sounds horrible. It all sounds real sketchy.
Yes. We do have a lot of employees. The company that I work for is pretty close to getting to the Fortune 100.
Dang, nice.
So, yes, we have a lot of employees. The company makes a lot of money. But again, it's a publicly traded company, so, there's some setbacks. I was thinking, there's a lot of thoughts that have been running through my head this past week, Nick. Mm-hmm. I know I texted you earlier. And I told you about my plan, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But it stemmed from a few things. So, for example, this week, I'm going to be going on vacation. Here's the problem with my vacation, Nick. Guess what I had to do yesterday? Guess what I had to do today?
Go into work and work 14 hours each day?
Correct. So, if my salary is based on a 45-hour work week, and I already worked 38 hours this week... And the week just – because our week starts on Saturdays, by the way.
Mm.
If I've already worked 38 hours this week, then really I'm only using one day of vacation time.
That sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome, except for the fact that I had to be at work all freaking day and all weekend. You know what I mean? So
It would be nice to have off Monday through Friday or Saturday, and really you're only getting charged one vacation day. But I hate to say it. The bosses I've had, they would never go for that. Even if you brought that up and it was sound logic, they'd be like, well, you can't take off a day with just one day. You can't take off the entire week. Where it's like, no, I should be able to, unless you're going to pay me overtime, which you're not. So,
right. Yeah, you know what? It was funny, too. There was a company I used to work for years ago that I was salaried in also. But if I worked over a certain number of hours, then I received minimum wage pay for that time. So even though it was minimum wage, I was still getting paid for overtime.
Yeah, you're still getting something.
Yeah. So that was nice. So I never minded putting in overtime hours then because I was getting extra cash. But you know what? It is what it is.
I don't know if it is what it is.
Yeah.
If your company is close to Fortune 100, how, if they're making that much money, how the hell is it expected that you're working all the crazy hours you're working? Like, are you guys just so undermanned, or the turnover is so great that, like, well, I gotta fill in. I gotta do this.
Yeah, it's both.
Yeah, it just boggles my mind that a company that large wouldn't be so over, like, you guys should just be bursting at the seams with, like, way too many people.
Mm-hmm.
Or a third, like, well, we have a whole other workforce in India that we lean on as well, you know, and in Germany we also have, like, there might not be people in your office, but there's so much overfill that why the hell would you be working past your 9-hour workday?
Yeah, yeah. I think about this a lot. I don't know if you know, listeners probably don't know. I do a lot of development with Ruby on Rails. And to me, all right, spoiler alert. Hope nobody from work is listening. That's the company maybe I should be working for, is Basecamp. Because the way that they structure their day-to-day business is completely different. It's not so much about how much revenue can we generate. Obviously, the revenue is important to keep the company going, right? But it's not so much about that as more of, can we keep employees here? Can we keep them happy? What perks are worth them having? Which perks are not worth them having? And how much autonomy can we give the employees so that they can do their job properly? And from my understanding, it's like the perfect place. Okay, so you work and all your projects are 3 weeks long. And when you're done with your project, you go on to the next one. If you need to work from home, you work from home. You need to work from a coffee shop, you work from a coffee shop. You need to go to your aunt's house, you go to your aunt's house. They don't have vacation time. Everyone gets paid regardless of whether they're on vacation or not.
Yeah, it sounds like Google.
If you want to take 6 months off, you take 6 months off and you're getting paid for your 6 months.
Yep, it sounds like Google. Like, there is no set vacation time or personal time. It's all the same.
Mm-hmm. And it works. They have, I mean, I don't know if you ever heard, Jason Fried and oh God, what's his name? Hennemeyer Hansen, I think, is the other guy that started the company. I mean, they started the company. I don't know if you ever used Basecamp. We used to use Basecamp on one of the companies I used to work for.
Yeah, same here.
That's the name of the company now. It used to be something else. I can't remember. And they renamed it to Basecamp. And they still work on that all the time. That's their main product. But they don't work on how much money to make. In fact, Jeff Bezos just invested like $1 billion in the company. Just because he liked the founders.
Interesting.
And granted, I think Amazon uses some of the technology. I mean, like, even Netflix runs on a Ruby on Rails backend. So, like, there's a lot of companies that use the technology. But really he invested because he liked these guys. And, I don't know, man. It's like, you know, the more I work, the more I realize, and I think maybe you might feel a little bit of this too, especially lately with your work schedule, is like, it almost seems like the majority of places where I've worked don't really care so much about the employee as an employee. It's more of the employee as a resource. But a resource to be abused, not used. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Because at any point, they could fire me, they could fire you, they could fire anybody. And it doesn't really matter, because they can just find somebody else to replace them. And probably the replacement will be cheaper.
Yeah, at this point, they don't even need a cause to be able to let you go.
Sure.
For a lot of companies, you know?
Sure, yeah.
But I tell coworkers, anybody could be fired if they went into your online history and saw that you spent any amount of time on Amazon or surfing. Like, you're not doing actual work, and that's enough grounds to terminate you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like, that's why whenever somebody, like, gets freaked out that I'm, like, doing XYZ, it's like, guys, they could let you go for any reason. They could go onto anyone's computer and let you go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's, I definitely feel like a resource now, for sure.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's tough, man, you know, cause I feel like I think most people would feel like they're good employees. And I definitely give the company way more than maybe I should, but I often feel like it's not really appreciated. You know what I mean?
Mm. I'm sure where you're at in management, that's got to be tough too, because you're getting dragged by both sides.
Yeah. And I mean, I do have some level of autonomy, but God, like when they start coming up with stupid crap that they feel like they need to put in to your workload for no reason whatsoever, it kind of makes it harder to do your job, not easier.
Yeah, and there is a level of, if you want to talk about this or discuss it, then you are the troublemaker.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, no, I'm just trying to explain. I have X amount of free time, and now you want to give me these three projects on top of what I'm already doing instead of, like, taking me off of this workload and, like, putting more on my plate. No, just everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been with companies where as soon as you hit management, all you're doing is managing. You're not actually working. You're just going, like, I know so many managers that, well, especially my previous company, where all they were doing was 10 hours of meetings. And they purposely filled their day to do that so it always looked like they're busy.
Yeah, totally. Fortunately, my day is not just about meetings, but I do get scolded quite often for not having enough meetings and not being on enough conference calls and not doing that and the other. Yeah.
Brother.
But you know what? Here's the thing, right? So if my boss says, okay, we're going to have a manager meeting today. Everyone needs to be on the phone. It's going to be a quick 20-30 minute meeting. Well, I work fast. You know what I'm saying? I can get a lot of work done in 30 minutes. So usually what I do is I know that he's not going to fire me for not showing up to a meeting. So I'll just not get on the call. And then after the call's done, I'll just shoot somebody a text like, hey, anything new and important? Because 99% of the time, guess what? Nothing new or important. And they're like, no, we talked about this. I'm like, okay. And then my boss calls me. Hey, why weren't you on the call?
Oh boy.
I was tied up with this and that and the other. Oh, okay. Well, is it done? Yep, it's done. Oh, okay. Well, here's what you missed. All right, thanks. And he tells me that in, you know, 30 seconds.
So the boss doesn't really care.
No.
He's not pissed that all the peons were in there.
Sure. So, well, and I mean,
that's all right for a boss, because usually they'd be upset.
Well, yes, but at the same time,
they want their choir.
Well, I think my boss kind of understands that sometimes. Well, you know what? I know for a fact he understands that sometimes there's a little too much extra stuff that's not really important. You know what I'm saying? And like, he needs to do it because that's what he's told to do. But I don't know. It's weird, man. Like I said. The whole corporate thing is just so outrageous, right? You're just like adding levels of bureaucracy for no particular reason. Matter of fact, my boss, before he worked for this company, worked for a different company that was having some layoffs because they got acquired. And he was in upper management, and they didn't want upper management to leave because it would look bad to investors if they left. So they gave all of upper management like bonuses, they gave them all raises, and basically they had to do nothing. Like they would just hang around and like get on Facebook all day, you know what I'm saying? And that's what they were getting paid to do, because an exodus of upper management would have looked bad.
Oh yeah, stockholders would have hated that.
Yeah. So, but I mean, eventually...
As well as if there's an exodus like that, all the business rags would have picked up on that, and then... Holy Christ, the egg on their face.
Yeah, absolutely.
How long did he hang out there and just get on Facebook?
Oh, like 2 years.
Dang, that's living the dream.
Yeah, long time. So, whatever.
Imagine how many comics you'd read in those 2 years.
Oh, my God. That's what I'm saying, dude. That'd be the dream. Just like put me in upper management. Somebody acquired this company, so I could just hang out for 2 years and do nothing. That'll not happen though, so whatever.
Yeah, that's the dream.
But I'm very disillusioned. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it's been tough because I've been disillusioned for a while. I think like you and I have talked a little bit about this privately. My wife and I have this conversation all the time because, you know, the reason I stay there is because the pay is good. And yeah, the hours suck, but if I leave, like, what am I going to do? Go work somewhere else that does the same exact thing?
Yeah, they, you know, I'm sure they also have good benefits too.
Oh yeah, we have great benefits.
Yeah.
But you know, what am I gonna do? Just leave and go do the same thing at another company that works exactly the same way? I mean, I don't want to do that either. You know what I'm saying? I'm comfortable where I'm at. And like I said, yeah, the hours suck. The amount of work sucks, but we live very comfortably as a result.
Can you see those two factors changing at all? Could the culture change?
I don't think so, man. It seems like it gets worse and worse. So I've worked with this company. This is the second time I've worked for them. So I've been back there, I don't know, 2 years now. I started working with, let me see. I think it was right after Zoe was born. So 8 years almost. I worked there for like 4 or 5 years and I left, worked somewhere else for a year or two. And then I came back. Oddly enough, because one of my ex coworkers went into management and asked me to come back. So I went back there and so I've seen the transition of how the company's worked over the last 8 years. And like, dude, it is night and day. You know what I'm saying? Like there was always corporate involvement, but it seems like now it's more about drilling down into the nitty gritty. And I want to say the company went public somewhere around that time frame. So that may kind of be what the problem is. But I don't recall exactly. So don't take my word for that. But I do want to say they went public, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago, 5, 6 years ago. And things have changed a lot. Things have changed a lot. Some of the processes have been scaled down some. They're more efficient. But the majority of things, I feel, have become more convoluted and really take up a lot more time than they used to. And it's not as fun as it used to be. And I'm not saying, like, look, here's the thing. Nobody can have a dream job, right? Like, it's really hard to land your dream job.
Sure.
Matter of fact, my wife and I were talking about this recently because we had planned on moving out to we're in the kind of country now. We planned on going to like the boondock country. Okay. Where like we'd be on like 10 acres of land and nobody around us. And we decided not to do that for various reasons. But during the whole planning phase, she had put in a notice at work because we're going to be moving. And then when we decided not to move, she ended up just working that notice and she went and found a different job. And when she started, for the first month, she's like, this is my dream job. Cause she would go in at like 8 o'clock. She was out by 3. No problems. Just Monday through Friday. And then like after the month or so, her boss is like, oh, well, why aren't you doing this? Oh, you need to be doing this. Oh, why aren't you doing that? You need to be doing that. And so now 3 o'clock became 4 o'clock, became 5 o'clock, became 5:30, 5:35, 6 o'clock.
Oof,
and sometimes she's bringing work home to do here while she's watching TV or whatever. And granted, she doesn't really have to work on the weekends. So that's a perk. But you know, like it was just all of a sudden, like all this extra stuff piled on and then it no longer became her dream job. And, her boss is not the nicest person either.
Oh God.
Although I did give her some, tips on how to handle her boss and her boss did apologize, but you know, it changed quite a bit. And I almost feel the same way, you know, like I enjoy what I do, but I think part of the problem is because I've been doing this type of job for so long, I often feel like when I'm told to do something a certain way, I know it's not going to work because I've been in that situation before, right? Because you got to think a lot of the time when you're in a company with a lot of hierarchy, you often have people that just hang out in an office and all they do all day is dream up ways of doing things.
Oh, sure.
Even though
they've processes.
Yeah. Even though they've never worked with those processes, they've, never done a particular type of job within the company. They feel like because they're much higher up, they're able to disseminate some of these things down on people below them because they feel like that will make the employees more productive.
Oh, sure.
Right, because they want to squeeze whatever they can out of it. And that's not the case, because again, the majority of people doing this have never been in the position of doing a particular task within the company, right? They're hired from somewhere else as if they were a VP somewhere else, and they come in, they're a VP here, or whatever, division president of this, that, and the other, and they know nothing about it. So it doesn't always work out. And I see that a lot more and more every day. And yeah, it's very disillusioning. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I want to be able to do what I love doing with, people are going to be listening to this. If anyone's still listening, they're going to be like, this guy's a jerk. but I want to do what I love doing, and I want to do it on my own terms.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And even if it means that I don't make as much as I make now, if I'm happy and I'm able to do other things that are important to me, then that makes up the difference. You know what I mean? So like, sure. So for example, Zoe started cheerleading last week.
Uh-huh.
So Zoe's got a cheerleading practice or whatever. I mean, I guarantee you 99% of the time, I'm not going to be able to go because cheerleading practice is at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays. And Tuesdays are pretty busy days, so I'm probably at work. Or if my wife wants to go out on a Friday night because Zoe's at her mom's and Reagan's old enough she can be by herself. But she's like, hey, let's go, I don't know, whatever. Last week she wanted to go to a concert, and we ended up not being able to do it because I was stuck on work on a Friday until almost 10 o'clock.
Mm.
So that was canceled. Fortunately, we did go to another one this past Friday. Kind of weird. I don't know if you ever heard of the Yin Yang Twins.
Oh yeah.
So I saw
pictures on the Facebook.
Oh yeah, she put pictures. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we went to see Yin Yang Twins Friday, and it was fun. It was fun. It was a little weird because it was the venue is kind of like a nightclub, but not really. And mm-hmm. I haven't been to a nightclub in, God, Nick, I don't know, at least 10 years.
Sure.
You know. So like, I go in and they're playing super loud bass music. Now I feel like an old man. Get off my lawn! but like the bass is super hard on there. Like my chest is beating hard. Like my legs are like shaking because it's so bassy. But it was still fun. You know, we had a good time, and it's something that she wanted to do. You know, but stuff like that, a lot of times I can't do it. I mean, think about, for example, even just doing this podcast, how many times we've had to cancel because I'm stuck at work or you're stuck at work.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Plenty.
And it's not like canceling the podcast is not that big a deal.
No.
Right.
Never.
But you know, it's one of those things where like you want to have some kind of balance between what you do for a living and what you do for fun.
Yeah. And I treat this very seriously, talking to you and putting out podcasts. And I always feel like I'm disappointing you when I have to cancel, or I'm like, not disappointing, but in my head, like, I'm sure you had something fun that you wanted to bring to the table. And now I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that next week or in 3 days, you know, where it's like right now you really want to talk about it. In 3 days, you might not want to talk about it.
Sure, 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 sure.
Yeah.
Except tonight's topic, because while we generally don't prepare for anything on this podcast, I texted you today about it. Because it's something that's been on my mind for most of the week.
I know. I was very surprised when Martin texts saying he has a conversation topic. I'm very shocked. Not in a bad way. You know, I was just like, oh, this is important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, so I've been reading, I think I told you, I don't know if last time we recorded, but it's been a couple of weeks. I've been reading, quote unquote reading, a book on Audible, religion.com/audible. And it's been fantastic. The book is called Essentialism.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who the author is, but it's Essentialism and it's got some subtitle. And it's, the reason I got it is because when I saw it, it kind of spoke to me. It was recommended to me by the Audible recommendation engine, which is usually effing terrible. Terrible. And I was a little surprised. By the way, I don't know if you noticed this. Amazon, as much money as they have, their recommendations, horrendous.
Agreed.
Horrendous. 99% of the time, they recommend stuff you already bought.
Or it's out of print. Which I love, because you never see until you're like, ooh, I would like that Cloak and Dagger, click, out of print, buy from third part. What the hell?
Mm-hmm. What the hell? So it was recommended to me, and I was very surprised because usually what I get on Audible is sci-fi or fantasy stuff. I have very few, I have very few nonfiction books that I've gotten. In fact, the majority of the nonfiction, this might be why I got the recommendation. The majority of the nonfiction books that I've gotten are written by the guys that, started Basecamp.
Ah, okay.
Okay, because I'm very interested in their methodology of work. Mm. And so, like, that's about it. And, by the way, they're all worth picking up and they're all pretty short. Like the Audible versions are like 8 hours long tops. They're very quick. Anyway, so it recommended to me and I was like, so I pulled it up and I was like, okay, this sounds like kind of what I do on a daily basis, right? Cause we talked about some of the stuff, like how weird I am with like clothes. You know, I've got clothes in my closet, but most of the time I wear the same like three pairs of jeans and the same three t-shirts.
Sure.
Or like, you know, I don't want to have extra stuff around the house. Like my wife and I were talking yesterday. We got new couches, I don't know, like a year ago. Mm-hmm. And, we got one of those, like, I don't even know what the hell they're called. You know, like the really long ones that is like multiple pieces connected together?
You mean sectionals?
Yeah, there you go. It's like a sectional. And then on the end is two, I like to say, chaise-longes, chaise lounges. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so there's one on each side. And I love it. It's great. And the reason I like it is because the entire thing, even the little wraparound part, faces directly the TV. Right? Because sure. Usually if I'm in the living room and I'm on the couch, I'm watching TV of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my wife and I were talking yesterday and she's like, hey, look at this couch. And I looked at it. It was a recliner. It was a red leather recliner, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I've loved red leather since I watched Fight Club. Cause you know, Tyler sure. Durden's got that red leather jacket,
mm-hmm.
which I hunted for 2 years after that movie came out until I found the red leather jacket.
Nice.
Anyways. So red leather recliner, and it was awesome, and it was super cheap because it was used. And I was like, yeah, that's nice. I was like, I don't know if the red would work, but it kind of would because, you know, we have that red accent wall.
Sure.
And but I was like, where are you going to put it? And she's like, well, we'll put it right here. And I was like, that's kind of in the middle of the walking section. Why would we put it there?
Mm-mm.
She's like, well, I like this one too. And she showed me a black one, black leather one. I was like, yeah, that's nice too. I was like, but we're in the same boat. Like, where are you going to put it? And she's like, well, we can put it there and put this one here and do this and the other. And I was like, all right, that's fine. But like, we never use them because we're always on this couch.
Right.
She's like, yeah, but when we have people over, like they'll have room to sit. And I'm like, babe, like when do we have people over? You know what I'm saying? Like her friend.
But women always think that.
I know. Like, all right. So my family comes down like once a year.
Right. All right. And then you celebrate three holidays a year where there might be extra people.
Well, we do all the holidays.
Maybe. No.
We do holidays at my in-laws.
Gotcha.
So nobody comes here for holidays.
No, I think it just backs up your point. Other than, your big-ass dogs now each have a couch. Oh, okay. Now that makes sense. Because they're big-ass dogs.
Sure. But, I mean, they sit on the couch with us because it's big enough for all of us. Or like her best friend Dora will come over with her husband and we'll hang out. But like we don't sit and watch TV when they come over. We go hang out on the deck and play cards and drink beer and whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Sure.
So like why get a couch that we're never going to use?
Unless you're getting rid of the sectional.
Well, we're not getting rid of the sectional.
Yeah. If you're replacing that, that's one thing. But just to fill up the room more with furniture that you're never going to sit in.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Exactly. So I don't need to go into all this stuff. I mean, people that listen all the time probably know. People that are never heard that part before, they're probably like, why am I tuned into this podcast? My apologies to you. Yeah, who cares?
But maybe you should take your sectional, bring in the leather couches, and take the sectional and put it out into the garage so your previous couch that's now in the garage will have friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's – There's a couch, a love seat, and an ottoman in the couch, all sitting on top of each other in the corner in the garage.
Oh, I would be hanging out in there every weekend. That'd be my man cave.
I mean, they're like, I think my wife got it when she was married to her first husband, Reagan's dad. Mm-hmm. So, sure. And I think she got him like right before Reagan was born, and Reagan's about to be 15, so. They're old. Anyways, so, you know, like, I don't want extra stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, K, can I go back to your Zoe cheerleader thing?
Yeah.
What would happen? I know this is a crazy thought, but just to break yourself out of this blue period that you're in with work, what do you think would happen, or would you ever do this? Would you ever go in and tell your boss, hey, the fall's coming up, my kid's in cheerleading. Every Tuesday, or whatever it is, every Tuesday, I'd like to go see her. It starts at 6 o'clock. Can I leave at 5 every Tuesday, or can I just work from home on Tuesday? Like, would they totally understand and let you do it after, because you've built up this history of like, well, Martin is a team player. He does X, Y, and Z for us. So what's the big deal?
No,
it's not like he's asking every Tuesday to leave at 1 o'clock.
Well, for one, there is a very strict never anything from home policy.
What does that mean?
Like, even if I have a conference call scheduled and I had to take the morning off because I had to go to the doctor, technically, yeah, I would still need to be in the office taking this call.
Wow, that is so not – wow, that is really weird.
It's very bizarre. And I couldn't even have, like, somebody under me take the call and take notes for me. Like, I would have to be on the call.
Okay, well, then I guess then I could you approach your boss and be like, you know, this cheerleading thing, blah, blah, blah. Every Tuesday, I want to leave at 5 o'clock.
So I'm glad he brought this up.
Would he at all, he or she, would they at all blink, or would it just be like, you know what, Martin does so much for us, you know what, go and do this for the fall, what the heck, it can't be a permanent thing, it has to stop in January or whatever, but would they just sort of like, okay, like, sure, or do you think it would be like you get the side eye and now all of a sudden you're not committed to the plan?
So, this is part of the reason why some of this stuff came up this week.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Because as I'm reading this book and noticing stuff around the office and thinking ahead about things that I need to do and what I don't need to do, I realize to myself that I do too much.
Sure.
Right? Because, I mean, that's kind of how I was raised. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My parents did whatever they had to do in order to put food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I grew up with that mentality, and I still follow that mentality. But the difference is my dad dropped out of school in eighth grade, and my mom never finished high school, and they worked menial jobs their entire life. And so, of course, they would have to do that because the types of jobs that they were in required that of them. I think based on what I do, I probably should take less of that mentality and see if it applies to my job. Because one of the things that I realized I have a problem with is, one, doing too much. And this is in all aspects, right? So, I mean, like, every day I wake up at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. I go to work. I come home. Uh-huh. I make dinner. I help clean up. I help the kids with the homework if it's during the school year. I have to do chores around the house. Then I go to podcast and I record and I have to edit and I work on the website and I do my social stuff to promote all that stuff. And I hang out and talk to you guys on Discord or whatever. And then I go to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And then I do this, you know, I wake up the next day, or I guess the same day at 5 or 6 in the morning.
Wow.
And this is an all the time thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know about 365, but
no wonder you feel burnout.
But maybe 300 days of the year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And because I've developed this routine, even on days when I'm off, I feel like I get up early and I have to go do something. You know what I'm saying? I can't just like sit in bed or just like sit on the couch and just meditate for 5 minutes. Right? I feel like I need to be doing something, because if I'm not doing something, I'm not being productive.
Mm.
And you know, part of the 12-step program when you're an alcoholic is, realizing you have a problem. And while I am not an alcoholic, I realize that I have a problem.
Sure.
But, you know, part of having that attitude has allowed me to excel at my job, to where I can make enough to make us comfortable. You see what I'm saying? So, but I wonder if maybe that's just too much. And maybe that's not really a priority for me anymore. So like I told you in our text very briefly, my plan is to leave my job by the end of the year. And so over the next 3.5 months, my goal is to figure out what steps to take. And by 3.5 months, I don't mean like wait till the last second, but like, for example, this week when I'm on vacation, figure out, put a plan in place on how I'm going to accomplish this goal. And I don't know yet if I want to do something on my own or if I want to try to go somewhere else or this and the other, but I feel like I need to step back for my own sanity, right?
Sure.
And part of that is going to be testing out certain things in my current job to see if maybe I'm overblowing things. Okay.
So this is where the cheerleading thing might come in?
Correct. So because of the fact that I have a hard time saying no, I feel like oftentimes I'm a little overused. I'm relied upon too much.
Yeah, you get taken advantage of.
And sometimes I feel like I impose that on myself, right? Because if there's a project due on, like, it's due by Friday and we haven't started it yet. Well, do I want to put, I don't know, John, Paul, and Mary on it and take them away from whatever the other thing is? Or do I just do it myself because I know I can do it in the same amount of time all three of them could do it? You see what I'm saying? So that's also part of the problem that I have.
Sure.
And it's tough because, you know, sometimes you got to work with the talent that you have. And sometimes you don't have the ultimate decision in who the talent that you have working for you is. And so sometimes you have talent working for you that you feel is not very talented.
Sure.
And because of the way that things work, it's very easy to hire somebody, but it's very difficult to fire them. And so you have to deal with some of these inconsistencies for a lot longer than should be required.
Sure.
So that's kind of part of the place where I'm at. So my first step is to kind of take a step back and say, I'm not doing this. And I know for a fact that it's going to piss people off to begin with. But I think ultimately my hope is that it will be better in the overall because that will allow me to concentrate on my stuff and it will give additional accountability to other people where they can be relied upon instead of, well, I know Martin can do it anyway, so I'll just give it to Martin.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm sure it's going to piss some people off, maybe even my boss. But I want to make sure that I phrase it in a way where they understand why I'm saying no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the thing is, I'm an extremely good multitasker. But one thing that I realized is as good a multitasker as I am, I'm not a good, I don't even know if there's a word for it, a multifocuser. And that gives me the jitters sometimes, right? Because I'm like, okay, I'm working on this, so let me spend 5 minutes on this. Oh, I just thought about how to solve that problem. Let me go to this other project and solve that problem. And I think by not devoting all my attention to one thing at a time, ultimately, I feel like I'm not providing the best work. Even though that might not be the case, right? Because I've never been told like, oh, you're doing a shitty job. But I feel that way, right? Because maybe I'm not focusing my efforts in the right place at all times. So I'm trying to work. This is part, self-development.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird to say, you know, being a couple of years away from 40, you would think that I feel like by my age, I should have figured some of this stuff out by now. But you know, it's hard to figure out some of these things, man, when you have so many different hats that you have to juggle and, so many different projects. But I'm hoping that at least maybe I can start to get it right.
Sure.
And if I feel like the way that I'm doing it makes me the happiest, then that's going to be the right way. And if that's not something that jives, within the culture that I'm working in, then that's probably not the culture that I need to be working in.
I get it. So is the first step going to your boss and saying, hey, every Tuesday I want to be off?
Yeah.
Not off, but I want to leave it at 5.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that's a good step.
Yep.
Even so, if you have to make up a lame excuse of like, well, I have to drive her, you know, just like, well, like I've been forced into doing this. Or can you just be like, no, I want to take this off because I want to see her in cheerleading.
No, yeah. So, and that's part of the thing, right? I think oftentimes, we try to make excuses for why we don't want to do stuff.
Right.
And I mean, I've done it. I'm sure you've done it. I'm sure everybody listening has done it. We try to find excuses for why you don't want to do something. But I don't want to have that anymore. So if I want to leave at work at 5 to go see her at cheerleading practice, then that's the reason why I want to leave. My daughter's having cheerleading practice tonight. I'm going to go see it. It starts at 6. I'm going to leave at 5 so I can go home, change my clothes and go, or stop and get a bite to eat and go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm not driving her. It's not a life or death thing. You know, like, it's not like I can't go to work because my dog is throwing up or whatever. I don't know, whatever bullshit people excuses make.
Right.
None of that. So if I feel like I'm going to say no, then the reason that I'm going to give you is exactly the reason why I'm telling you no.
Yeah, that makes sense. Personal growth and work growth, you know, they're always evolving. So I don't see just because you're 38 doesn't mean that you should know everything.
Well, sure. But, you know, because I've been in the same type of job for so long, I mean, basically since I got out of college, pretty much. So like 15 years. Obviously, I've learned a lot. I would hope that I learned a lot in 15 years.
Yeah, and the workforce has changed, though.
That's true. But we'll see. So I'm going to take – that's going to be the small step, right? So I'm going to be like, hey, Zoe's got cheerleading on Tuesdays. I'm leaving at 5. And it's not going to be like, hey, can I leave at 5? It's like, I'm going to leave at 5. And I'm going to see what the reaction is.
Yeah.
Okay. And if there's a compromise, then I can maybe work with a compromise. But I don't think so. You know, I think the compromises will start when I really start putting certain things ahead of just being there all the time.
Yeah. And I hate to say it. If you have a team, you have to be able, whether or not they're as good as you or can get it done as efficiently, but you also should be able to load them up and just be like, all right, you guys go.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Well, and so that's why I think saying no is going to be important. And then prioritizing the stuff that I say yes to also, you know, just because I may be the most qualified to do something does not mean I'm going to say yes either.
True.
So that's something that I'm going to strive to work for. And I'm going to be testing it out when I get back from vacation to see kind of what the reaction is. And again, I do expect a little backlash, but I don't expect a whole lot to begin with. But once I start with other stuff, I mean, you know, school starting back up, Reagan is in the orchestra. So she plays violin. So yeah. I want to go to the recitals, right?
Yeah.
I want to go to Zoe's when Zoe has a dance recital. I want to go to that. I want to go to the cheerleading practice. I want to be able to go out on a Friday night with my wife, like things like that. Very simple. You know, it's not like I'm asking for time off, right?
Right.
I'm just asking to have some of my time back that I devote beyond what I'm required to do.
Well, it definitely, at least from an outsider point of view, it feels like you will never say no. And it also feels like your company might know that they're taking advantage of it, but until things change, they'll just take advantage of it.
Sure.
Which, guess what? A lot of companies would be in the same boat. It's not like your company's an evil company. No, I think the majority of companies would be like, yeah, that sounds great.
Yep. Yep, I agree. In the meantime, I'm also going to try to do – I'm gonna start scheduling some time for personal projects.
Nice.
So as you know, I spent a lot of time on our website, the Nerd Legion website. And I was thinking to myself, like, what would be a good way to have, like, passive income? And so one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to start an offshoot thing off the website just to provide really cheap hosting for people that want a podcast.
Mm.
Right? Because, I mean, I get asked all the time, like, hey, can we put a podcast on the network? And 90% of the time I say no.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you have one and you want to do it, then sure. Like, $5 a month. You know what I'm saying? Do your podcast, whatever you want.
As well as you won't be under the Nerdy Legion Network banner. You go do your own thing. You're independent. You're an island.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, hey, I'll give you the infrastructure so you can get it up and running.
Yep. So I want to do that.
Good.
There's a couple other ideas that I have. There's a project that I've been working on that I'm going to open source and see where that goes. Nice. So we'll see. Again, I don't know ultimately what's going to happen, but I want to devote more of my talents to myself, to my own personal growth. Not just personally, but professionally also. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Work towards your passions.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know yet. I'm gonna spend my, short vacation time trying to figure some of that stuff out.
Well, I hope you can actually kick back and rest and relax.
Yeah, yeah. I hope so too. We'll see. We'll see. It's very difficult. You know what I'm saying? It's very difficult. Of course it doesn't help. Well, I mean, it kind of helps. I think maybe the way my wife phrases it sometimes is counterproductive. But oftentimes she's like, well, you know, you can do this, that, and the other. Why don't you do this on your own? And it's not that easy. You know what I'm saying? It's not that easy. Cause, you know, if she quit working, we'd probably be all right. But if I quit working, that wouldn't be the case.
Sure.
Right. So it's a little difficult, a little difficult.
Yeah. But there's a lot of fat in everyone's, you know, economy that can be trimmed back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, do you need everything of everything? No, probably not.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we talked about that when I lost my job and I was out of work for a couple of years. Like, mm-hmm. Guess what? You realize real quick what you do and don't need.
Absolutely.
But is that a way to live? Probably not. No. It's a whole other set of stresses.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, Nick. I'm gonna try to figure some of this stuff out. Hopefully it works. I don't want to keep falling into the same trap. You know what I'm saying? So like, if my new approach to things doesn't work, then it's just not going to work. And that's when I want to give myself the 3-month leeway also.
Well, maybe also it's a new learning behavior just for yourself. Maybe you have to hold yourself to it more than your bosses holding you to it.
Yep. Yeah, it's very true.
Because they're going to take advantage of it no matter what.
You're right about that. You're right about that.
Yeah.
It's hard to start fresh also. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, of course.
And I've thought about that before because, I mean, I've worked for companies for, you know, over a decade. But before that, I mean, I did have my own business with a partner, doing similar stuff to what I really enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I decided that I wanted to make more money, so I joined the company and let that fall by the wayside. But I wonder, like, if I had stuck doing that, how much would that – things have changed over 15, 20 years, right?
Yeah, and what's your partner doing now?
He's still working for himself.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. But he's
but
not
– there is
– but he's not making a bunch of money. You see what I'm saying?
Right, but there also is a big security with a big company as well, benefit-wise, and like certainly you're going to be making more that way. But mm-hmm. you just it's one of those weighing things.
Yeah.
For me, it's not even benefits; it's more like insurance.
Yeah, insurance
That's
is a big
scary
deal.
Thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know, insurance is not cheap, and you have to have it.
No, it is not cheap. But yeah, and you're right. You absolutely have to have it. And you know me, like money is never a driver for me.
Mm-hmm.
Same with position, never a driver for me. It is whoever's managing me. I just want to feel appreciated.
Mm.
A pat on the back for me is worth so much more than like, here's the employee of the month plaque or here's a huge raise. Like that's just not a big driver for me. It just isn't. And one of my previous bosses, he's like, no, no, no. We work to make as much money as we possibly can so we can retire early and get the hell out of here. And it's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. If you were talking to a 20-year-old, I'd be like, yep, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the problem. Like, that's such a shitty existence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, at that point, you're just surviving. You're not living your life.
Oh, for sure.
And but I don't want to be there.
It's just like the employee review that, you know, rate yourself 1 through 5, 5 being the, you know, the highest number. And then your boss tells you, and I've had a boss tell me, but no one gets a 5. So I'm going to lower down every one of your 5s. And here's the reason. And whatever it was written out, even if it was justified, still just completely burned my ass. Mm. So guess what I did the following year on that review, 1 through 5, everything was a 3. Because right, I'm right. Like, well, if it really doesn't matter, or guess what? If you were going, because at this point, we are not part of the internet. You know, remember back in the day, the big internet bubble. We're not part of the internet boom anymore. Everyone is trying to save 0.2% mm-hmm. everywhere. So the chance of getting like a 12% or 18% raise, unless you're jumping up like management levels, you're never going to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So the chance of me getting a 5 on one of my categories compared to a 3, what's that going to be percentage wise on a raise? You know, it's like, eh, if you're not willing to say that I go above and beyond on any of my areas that I'm checking here, then what was my raise going to be? 1.5%? And now it's 1.25%. Like, eh, keep the quarter then. Like, pff, I don't need that. Because it certainly isn't going to go from a 3% raise up to, well, if I would have had a 5, I would be getting a 12% raise. No.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The days of 12% raises, those are bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, like performance ratings don't work anyway.
No, of course not.
They're useless. Matter of fact, there was a study on that not long ago about how counterproductive performance ratings are. And I can't remember what it was. I think the study focused on like restaurants. You know, like when you go to a restaurant, they have that like, how do we do thing?
Yeah, the little cards.
Yeah, the little cards
that you can turn in.
Yep. Yeah. And it's like, oh, my food was undercooked or whatever. Like you get a 1. And then like it's the waiter that's getting rated based on that rating. But like 90% of the problems that people point out in the surveys have nothing to do with the actual service that you received.
Oh, yeah. You see that all the time, especially if you're in the goods business.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people will – you want them to rate the installer, and instead it's like, oh, that device is so loud. 1 out of 5. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. And it's like, but the guy who – like you just want to sit down and be like, but the person that installed that in your home – how did he do? Oh, he was great. He was fantastic, punctual, yep. Right on time, knew yep. exactly what to do. I had an issue, and they still, oh, perfect. Well, then why'd you give all 1s? Well, it was just so loud. I explained that to you. It's like, but you're reviewing the person who installed it. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's why, I mean, I've had talks with coworkers, you know, throughout my history. And it was always one of those, the reason we never pulled the plug and went into business by ourselves was the insurance.
Yeah.
It never was the 401k. It was always the insurance.
Yep. Yep.
But also the people I was willing to do this with, unlike me, they all had kids. So I totally was like, dude, I can take a pay cut, but you know, them, they are the main, you know, earners of the family as well as having 2 kids. So I totally understand when push comes to shove, it's like, nope, I got to back out of this.
Yep.
And yeah. Guess what? I probably would have worked, you know, if I'm working for myself, guess what? If I have to work 60 hours, I will.
Mm-hmm.
But to work what I'm doing now or even in a previous job when I have such a long commute – that I explain to my boss, hey, can I come in early and leave early so I can avoid the morning commute and after work commute? And for them just to be like, oh no, we expect asses in seats till 5:30. So that pretty much tells me, well, if you want to avoid the commute, you can always go home after the commute's done, you know, work right. Till 7.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh great. So I can work from 6:30 till 7:30 every night. Wow. That seems to work out for one set of individuals, but not both sets of individuals.
Yep. Or like, and yeah. I know that you've gone through this when they have like, hey, we're all going to the bowling alley tonight. The company's paying for it. And it's just an excuse to have like a meeting at the bowling alley.
Yep.
Right. To discuss a future project or whatever it is. Or like, hey, like we're providing dinner tonight. The taco truck's going to be outside at 6 o'clock. Well, I'm supposed to leave at 5, so why would I stay till 6?
Yep. Or it's one of those you see other departments doing this bowling alley thing. Like, oh, maybe it's a company-wide type thing. But you see other departments, they're all going at noon, 2 o'clock. But, of course, your department, they're scheduled at 6 because we have so many meetings we have to go to. God forbid. You know, it's just like, it's stuff like that. Like, you want me to give up even more of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad thing is then your bosses just look at you like, well, they're not a team player.
Yeah, right.
And it's
right.
And it's like, no, mother effer, you do it at 2 o'clock. You will see me there with bells on. I will be the happiest boy ever because I'm getting out of work at 2 o'clock and like bowling. That sounds great.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just, it's bizarre.
It is. Yeah.
So I totally get it. I totally understand where you're at. I wish you weren't there. I mean, you give a lot of yourself from everything you've told me and everything I can envision. So mm-hmm. it stinks when it's not even reciprocated. Because guess what? Plenty of people could fill your job. They could let you go and find 5 other people.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that's when you say that or you feel like that, it goes back to exactly what you said. You feel like a resource.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being a value, you know, you're not a value proposition anymore. You're just a resource. Mm-hmm. Your head count.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yep.
And there's been weeks for me where it's like you just dread going in. Like, oh, God.
Yeah.
But you damn well know, like, sure, other employees in this position, they'd call in sick. They'd be like, F this. But I just can't do that. I have to go in. Like. Okay, yeah, and I have to go in early just because, you know, the S storm's going to start early, so I have to be there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Since I graduated college, I have only missed 1 day of work.
Wow.
Yep.
I can't say that.
1 day of work. I had a wisdom tooth removed, and I had a bad allergic reaction to Percocet or whatever they gave me,
mm-hmm.
and that is the only time I've been off.
Damn, that's impressive.
Yep.
I definitely, with my allergies and crap, I definitely take off when I have to take off.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hey, guess what? People get sick. Sorry.
Yep.
The flu goes around the office. I'm not coming in.
If I
have a cold, I'm not giving it to anyone. And I will shame other people that come in sick until they finally go home. It's like, no, I don't want to catch it. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
And even at my current job, one of my previous managers, she was always family first. Like if you're having a problem with your daughter, stay home. For as long as you need to, stay home. Just keep me abreast. And if I have to reach out to you and contact you, you know, I'll reach out. But I hate to say it, that type of manager, all it takes is one person lying to that person. Mm-hmm. And that management style will completely change.
Yep.
But it was nice. I mean, there were times where it's just like, I was so sick, she pretty much said, just go to the doctor, get better, see you next week. Like, if you feel at all like jumping on, jump on. But till then, no, stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, that says a lot.
Yeah, but that's few and far between, buddy.
Yeah, that's a rainbow unicorn.
Yep, yep. It surely is. Let's talk about happier things, Nick.
Ooh.
I have been requested to share my homemade pasta recipe. However.
Oh, and have you already forgot that I've also requested something of you?
Oh, did you? What was it?
That I wanted to hear about Zoe's room when she finally came back, the beach.
Oh,
room.
Okay. Let's start with that.
Okay.
So, I know a friend of the show, Chris Campbell, chimed in on Twitter because, we were talking about my painting of the room,
mm-hmm.
and how my wife wanted me to use tape.
Yeah.
And he said, tape schmape. Oh, that'd be a good episode title. And of course I didn't use tape. Because I've learned something, Nick.
Hmm.
This all goes hand in hand with this essentialism thing.
Oh.
If you take your time to do it right the first time, mm-hmm. you don't need to do it a second time. And if you extend that to painting a room, if you take time with a small brush to paint the edges, you don't need to tape anything off. So I taped nothing off,
mm-hmm.
and it looks great, except for one spot that I got to paint white in the ceiling because I wasn't paying attention. Almost fell into the paint bucket, and I splattered some paint on the ceiling.
Oh, if only that was recorded.
But aside
I've
from
actually,
that,
I've actually been up on not a large ladder because I'm afraid of heights, but those like smaller ladders, not the 3-step ladders, but like the 5-step ladders, but not all the way up. I was leaning against it, mm-hmm. and I had one of those paint trays, you know, on the flip down part, mm-hmm. and I was painting probably up where you were. And then when I went to we discussed this before. I come from a family of never do it yourself. No, no, no. But I tried. I tried. But I remember coming down that five step ladder. And when I got towards the bottom, maybe the last 2 steps. And of course, being scared of heights, you always think you're going to fall backwards and have the ladder fall on you. Mm-hmm. Fall off to the side, the entire ladder falls over. So the last 2 steps, you get a little anxious. And I went to brace myself, and I put my entire hand right into that paint tray. Completely into it. Oh, my God, it was so stupid.
Funny you should say that, because I did get my entire foot into the paint tray. So I ended up limping down the stairs to the kitchen and putting an old bag, one of the plastic bags from the supermarket around my foot, and I tied it around my foot. And God, it was the worst because my foot was burning hot. It was sweaty.
Were you barefoot?
Yeah.
Oh, you were barefoot too?
Oh, yeah.
God bless. Oh, yeah.
Dude, if I wasn't barefoot, I'd just take my shoe off.
I thought you were going to say you put your entire foot into the sink and was washing it.
No, I left it. I was like, you know what? That's a lot of paint. I'm just going to let it dry in this bag. So I just stuck my foot in the bag and tied it around my ankle and kept on going.
Oh, my God. We are so dumb. Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
So every day she's like, send me pictures. I'm like, I'm not sending you pictures.
Yeah.
Just when you come, you can see it and see right. if you like it.
Right.
So we got home. She didn't even say hi to anybody. She just ran up to her room. and I didn't hear anything. I was like, maybe she doesn't like it. So I go up there and, she's just looking around and I'm like, so do you like your room? And she wouldn't say anything. She's just like dancing.
Really?
Yeah. She's just dancing. And I'm like, so did you like your room? And she's just laughing and dancing. She wouldn't tell me. So I was like, I gave her a tour of what I did, and I mm-hmm. showed her all the furniture because, you know, she got a new nightstand, new lamp, new desk, a whole bunch of new stuff in there. And of course, she had an Alexa,
yes.
which she used nonstop. I had to keep going up there and, being like, hey, you gotta do Alexa at volume 5 or you gotta close your door. So I did have to turn it down for her a few times because, you know, you can control multiple ones from wherever you're at.
Of course.
So, but yeah, she really enjoyed it.
What about the items that you told me that you and her are both going to have to go on and like search for to pick up for the room? Little like accents, like the bedspread you were going to have mm-hmm. her pick out, and there was a couple other things.
I'm glad you said this.
Ah.
Because this is when I became a very happy parent.
Ooh.
So I showed the room, and I was like, you know, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm sorry that I didn't get your comforter or that I didn't get all your decorations on the wall or whatever. But, you know, some of that stuff, I wanted to make sure that it was stuff that you wanted, so I figured we could just order it. Whenever you got here, we can go and look through it and see what you liked, and we could order it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I became a proud parent. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, it's okay, Daddy. We can wait a little while. She's like, you already spent a lot of time and money on this room.
Aww.
I'll put it on my Christmas list.
Holy cats. That's a good kid.
And I was very surprised because I've never heard that from her. In fact, it was not the only time that weekend that I heard it.
Dang.
Because... we had to go grocery shopping mm-hmm. and, my wife and Reagan were out doing something. I can't remember something for school. And so I was mm-hmm. like, well, while you guys are doing that, I'll take Zoe and we'll go and do some grocery shopping. So I took Zoe grocery shopping. We put stuff in the buggy. We go to checkout. And usually she asks for, like, little extra stuff. She didn't ask for anything. Probably because, like, this whole time she's thinking, my dad just spent a bunch of money in my room. I don't want to ask for extra stuff. That's my assumption. Sure. And I think that was true because we rang everything out. And I put everything in the buggy. And I always do self-checkout because I hate dealing with cashiers. I hate people. I don't know if you know this. So I go to pay. And she's like, can I press the button? I was like, yeah. So she presses finish and pay. And, you know, the total comes up. And she's like, oh, my God, Daddy, is it okay that you're spending that much money? and it was only like $100 because I'm really good at shopping. My wife is not. Like when she goes grocery shopping, it's like $200, $250. When I go grocery shopping, it's like $75, $100. Sure. Anyway, it was like $99, $98. And she's like, oh, my God, Daddy, $98? She's like, do you have that much money? And I was like, yeah, baby, it's fine. Don't worry about it. She's like, but that's a lot of money. And I was like, well, yeah, when you're 8. I was like, Daddy works very hard so we have money. She's like, are you sure? We can put some of this stuff back. Cause she got like extras, like she got yogurt and stuff that she normally doesn't get. And, sure. I was like, yeah, no, it's fine. And I was very surprised, right? Cause this is like twice in, you know, the same day that she showed that she's very much aware of what things cost. And it's not something that I've ever seen her do.
She's learning the value of a dollar.
Right.
Yeah. I like this.
Yeah. So I was very happy about that. So I think as a result, I'm going to talk to my wife about implementing a token system.
Do you have an app built for this?
Yes. It runs on the blockchain. That way I can get millions of investments. I don't know where I heard about this. But you don't have kids, but I'm sure you may have seen it with like your nieces and nephews. It's hard to get kids to do chores. You know what I'm saying?
Oh God, yeah.
And my wife and I have tried like 3,000 different things, and it works for like a couple weeks, and then the kids just kind of lose interest.
Sure.
Right. And it's basically like, hey, if you do this chore, like it's worth this much money. If you do this chore, it's this much money. These chores aren't worth any money because they're essential. All right. So like on Mondays, Reagan needs to take out the trash like that. You're not going to get paid to take out the trash. The trash needs to be taken out. But like, you know, something that helps us, like, I don't know, cleaning the bathrooms, like that's worth something to my wife and I. So we make it worthwhile to them. So it'd be like, okay, sure. you clean the bathrooms, you get $5, whatever, something like that. But I think I want to try this token thing that I heard about. And it was used in terms of, like screen time. And I think it would work better because everything that we've always tried with the kids, it's like, if you do this, you get that, right? Because that's kind of the way that it is with work, right? Like you get paid for the work that you do. But I want to try to do it with like an incentive. So what I heard about is, you do a token system. And so you have 5 tokens. Okay. And you can assign whatever value to it. The way that I heard it is you have 5 tokens. You can redeem those tokens. So each token is either worth 50 cents or 30 minutes of screen time. And I think because our kids are older, like it would have to be a different amount for both screen time and money.
Sure.
But this is just the example that I heard. So 50 cents or 30 minutes of screen time. You get 5 a week. Use them however you want. If you want additional screen time or additional money, like there's things that you got to do. So like if you spend an hour reading, you get a token. Or like if you do whatever, you go clean the bathrooms, you get a token. Okay. And like you redeem the tokens. So I want to try that because I think it would give them maybe a little additional incentive.
Sure.
Plus also I do want to try with the screen time because both of the kids are just on YouTube all the time. And like, it's fine sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like if my wife and I are busy doing stuff and it keeps them entertained, then that's okay. But I do feel like they do that a lot. Matter of fact, I feel like my wife does it a lot too, but I'm not gonna give my wife tokens, you know what I'm saying?
Tokens! Heather, tokens!
But I want to try it and see how it goes.
Or you could redeem it for 50 cents, Heather. She'd be like, what?
Yep. I don't know. If I redeemed it for a bottle of wine, it might work out pretty good.
Now that, yeah, but you're not getting a 50 cent bottle of wine.
I yelled at her yesterday. I was, as you know, I worked all day yesterday and, there was some kind of problem with T-Mobile and she couldn't text. So we were like communicating on Twitter DMs and, she's like, yeah, we're going to go like get some stuff for Reagan for school. I was like, okay, that's fine. So they left. When I came home last night, she and I were talking. She's like, yeah, we went here. We went there. She's like, and went to Trader Joe's. And I was like, did you get me some hibiscus beer? Yeah. She's like, no, I didn't know you wanted some. I was like, babe, when it's in season, I want hibiscus beer. We never go to Trader Joe's.
Right.
You should have asked, but she didn't. Damn. But she did get some two-buck chuck.
Nice. So you're set for the week off.
Yeah, we'll see.
At least for the first day.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
Or maybe just tonight. Who knows?
Who knows? It's going to be busy though. Cause like, Zoe's got cheerleading practice tomorrow night. And then I think Tuesday also. And Tuesday's also meet the teacher night. So we have to do that. Got a doctor's appointment on Wednesday. So, you know, there's stuff that needs to be done.
You already got the list going.
I'm telling you, dude.
Sheesh. I thought you'd have a honey-do list, but it sounds like you're making a list.
Well, I told my wife, I was like, you know, if there's something that you need me to do, let me know. Cause I'm going to be off most of the week. So, you know, I'll get that stuff done. She's like, nah, not really. She's like, if you want to just like put the couches on your truck and take to the dump, then that's about it.
That's a good wife.
Yeah.
Usually that the reverse happens where all of a sudden you get like all of these projects, which really in total probably are 3 hours total.
Yeah.
But of course you hib and haw about it and make them into the worst thing ever and try to avoid doing it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, dang it, this entire vacation, I had to do this honey-do list, which really it was like, well, if you would have done it the first day, you would have been surfing, you know?
Well, that's how it was last time I was on vacation. She had me paint the deck. I had to fix the steps going from the deck to the yard. I painted the living room. There was a lot to do. This time I don't have that much.
Good.
But there's some stuff that I want to do. I got to fix Reagan's fan. There's something wrong with it. So I got to fix that. The light fixture in my kitchen does not turn on anymore. And it's one of those long fixtures with the long tubes. So I bought new light, new bulbs, and it still doesn't work. So I'm assuming it's the little ballast that's in there.
Sure.
But I think I might just use it as an excuse to get rid of that fixture and get something nicer. yeah, we'll see. I mean, might as well, right? Like if I have to cut the power to the room anyway, fuck it.
Yeah, for sure. I just hope you can get some R&R, recharge the battery a little.
Yeah, definitely need it. Definitely need it. I already told my boss because, last week I took Thursday and Friday off. Except I ended up having to work Friday.
Jeez.
Because there was something due and it was nowhere near completion. And of course, Martin can complete it. So I went in and completed it.
Dang it.
Yeah. But I told him, I said, you're not going to find me. I said, I'll have my phone like Monday or Tuesday if you have a question, but I'm not coming in. I said, Wednesday I'm going to the doctor, so don't talk to me. And I'm going to see if it's not going to rain, I might go overnight camping Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thanks.
Maybe. If it's not raining and it's not too hot.
Even if you don't, I would be telling work that's what you're doing.
Well, I told them after Tuesday my phone's getting turned off. And it won't be back on until Monday. So.
Good. I like that. Good luck
finding me. I also
maybe this is the way that you can turn over that leaf. Start new behaviors. You're starting them now.
I did start a new behavior. I deleted all my email from my phone.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to reach me by email, it'll be while I'm at work in front of the computer, or if I get on the computer at home and I happen to open up my email. But other than that, you won't find me by email.
Are you talking work email or personal email?
Both.
Wow. Holy mackerel. You're so close to living in the woods. Look at you.
No, I mean, dude, think about it, though. Like, how much of email that you get is really that important? You know what I'm saying?
Agreed. But, and I guess at this point, the way my behavior is, I barely touch email. where I really touch social.
Yeah.
Like if I did that with Twitter, holy Christ, what would I be doing my day, you know, my weekends? Because you're just on there surfing, like yeah, filling up time doing absolutely nothing, really.
That's not good. I've considered cutting out my Twitter time.
That's why, like, you bashed the, like, phone companies putting in clocks. But in my head, that almost makes sense because people won't do that voluntarily. So if somebody creates an app where you tell it, I only want to be on social platforms for 8 hours in a week. And then after eight, they pop up a warning and then they turn off the social platforms. That might actually work.
Yes. Well, and you know, one point I didn't, you know, make when we were talking about that is my problem is not necessarily with that being done. My problem is that that should be my responsibility, not their responsibility.
Agreed. But I don't think people would take it to heart.
You're right.
The majority of people, I think the majority of people know that this behavior is not good, just like they know how toxic like social platforms are. But yet people still add toxicity to Twitter, you know?
Yep.
Where if you were to ask them, like, dude, why'd you throw that out? And they're, oh, I just threw it out. Oh, I didn't mean it that way. But it's like, well, you sort of did. Like, I don't know if everyone wants to be a complete jerk on social, but, you know, guess what? You sort of did pile on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am going to try that with Twitter, but on my own terms. I'm going to see if I can do, like, I'm only going to be on Twitter between, like, 12 and 1 and 5 and 6 and 9 and 10. And outside of that, no. Because, dude, I get a lot of notifications, you know what I'm saying?
And, oh, yeah.
And I've blocked a lot of notifications off. So, like, likes and things like that, I don't get anymore.
Good.
I did the at mentions. But, you know, when you start getting notifications, you feel the need to look at your phone.
Sure.
You know, and
as well as participate in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Even though really you don't need to.
Even though, you know, it's not essential. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I don't have near the amount of followers you do. So
it's not all it's cracked up to be.
No, nor do I really care.
Yeah. So. but yes, I'm going to try some of that stuff. And, so Zoe really liked her room.
Great.
My in-laws got her a gift card to Michael's.
Oh.
So she's like, let's go to Michael's. I was like, all right. And, at first she's like, what's Michael's? And Reagan loves going to Michael's because Reagan gets a lot of art supplies from Michael's or AC. I don't know if you guys have AC Moore. But she likes going there to get art supplies. And,
does she do slime?
Zoe does.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. But, Reagan doesn't. And,
Reagan's older.
Yeah. Reagan's working on getting like great pens. She was looking at, we went to Michael's. She was looking at all the Coptic markers, like the ones that, comic book colorists and stuff use.
Sure.
But dude, they're like $30 a piece.
Hell yeah.
They're not cheap. Matter of fact, it's the only thing in the entire store that's locked up behind a case. So she's looking at those. She wants to get some of those. Anyway, so she got a gift card to Michael's and she's like, I don't even know what Michael's is. And Reagan's like, oh yeah, it's like AC Moore. And Zoe's like, oh, okay. Yeah, let's go. So three of us went out to Michael's and, she's like, I don't even know what I'm going to get. I was like, well, get stuff for your room, you know, like decoration stuff. So again, showing how much she's realizing how things cost because she knew she had $25 to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to find the stuff that she wanted. So every time we'd like get an item, I'd be like, oh, this looks nice. She's like, well, how much is it? And I'd be like, this much money. She's like, okay, so this much. She's like, okay, we'll get that. There was one item. She's like, how much is it? I was like, $10. I was like, oh, wait, no, it's 70% off. So it'd be $3. She's like, oh, okay, for $3, I'll get it, but not for 10. I'm like, okay, good.
Did she also like coupon hunt? She grabbed the little flyer that gives, you know, such off?
No. She didn't do that, but we went through like all the aisles. She's picking stuff out. And then, we get to the side where they have like the fake flowers and stuff. And she saw like little bags of sand.
Uh-oh.
And she's like, oh, she's like, this will go really well with the beach theme. So she's looking at all the bags, seeing how much each of them costs. She's like, well, I can get two of these for the price of one of these. And like, she's doing the math in her head. She's like, how much do we have in there? And I was like, well, this is three, this is five, this is seven. She's like, okay, so that's like $22. So I can get one of these. She's like, well, I really want this. So I'm going to put that back so I can get this instead. And so she ended up getting like, a shallow round glass bowl and some sand and some seashells. She put some stuff back. She got some, those like paper, lamp things. They look like lampshades, but you can hang it from the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
She got a set of those because they were on sale for like $4 or $5.
Nice.
And, yeah, so she added everything up and it was like $22. And I was like, well, you got to pay tax too. She's like, okay, so I'll have like $1.50 left over. I was like, yeah, that's fine. She's like, okay, let's go check out. So we went to check out and she's like, how much do I have left over? And I was like, $1 something. She's like, okay. She's like, I'll get this gum too.
I'm going to get some candy.
Yeah, yeah. So she got, like birthday cake bubble gum, which was nasty.
Ugh, that sounds horrible.
And some other one. It was like a mango orange. I don't know. It tasted like a rainbow sherbet. It was delicious. No, it was delicious.
Okay.
Trust me, it was. And, and she was happy. She kept her little gift card because she still has like, I don't know, 75 cents in it.
Nice.
But yeah, good time. She decorated now, her new desk with the shells all over it.
Dang, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
is
nice.
She going to do like a plantarium, that type of thing in that bowl?
Well, no, all she did in it was, she put the sand in it and she'd like arrange the shells in a way that she liked inside it.
So it's a terrarium.
It's like a terrarium. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was good. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
All right. Let's talk about pasta. Oh, yes.
Oh, sorry. I'm just real curious if you're watching and it goes along the same lines as this terrarium thing. Have you or the family watched the summer replacement NBC show, Making It?
Nope.
It's, with Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman.
Huh.
And it's sort of like the Great British Bake Off show, but it's based around, cause Nick Offerman's Mr. Wood handyman type guy.
Sure.
It's based around like amateur crafty people. And there's been two episodes so far, and it's just like the Great British Bake Off. It's exactly like that, but for crafts. So
interesting.
And I've told you this about cooking shows. Like, I might not be able to craft. I might not be able to cook or bake. But for me, the whole point of, like, those type of shows is to watch the creative process and people that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first episode, and I highly recommend the show. It's very entertaining. It's very family friendly. And like I said, it's a summer replacement show, so it'll be in and out probably in six episodes. But the first episode, there was a gentleman who was a gay gentleman who was talking about his parents not being able to accept when he came out.
Hmm.
And when he married his boyfriend, his parents sent to his work a black wreath, like for a funeral.
Huh.
And pretty much let him know, like, you're dead to us now.
Interesting.
And, dude, I'm telling you, I had waterworks going on, and you could just see the emotions on his face, even though that was, like, years ago. Like, he still carries that with him. That, mm-hmm. like, his parents are, like, he is dead to his parents.
Dang.
And it just freaking, it killed, like, I mean, we paused the damn show, and my wife and I had, like, quite a long discussion about that. Like, wow, that just so affected us. It was pretty crazy. But I bet you anything, if you put that on for the girls, that show, like, It's really interesting. They did one that was around terrariums. Mm-hmm. Like, show us your personality in a scene within a terrarium. And then, like, another challenge was, like, build us a child's fort that we can actually go inside and is functional. So you have all of these crafters, like one is a woodworker, one works in felt, one works in paper. And it's just really interesting to see, like, their interpretations of the challenge.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's like I said, I bet you anything your girls would really like it if they tuned in.
You said making it?
Yeah, making it. It's on, like, I think it's Wednesdays on NBC. But I catch it through Hulu, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't even have an antenna, so I'll check it out on Hulu.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's really good.
I watched, I think I only have one episode left, Amazing Interiors on Netflix.
Ooh, okay.
Which is weird.
Wait, was this the one show that I told you about with the bunker house?
There was a bunker house in there.
And then one crazy guy who parked his car and had it rotating.
Yes.
In his man cave.
Yes.
Yeah. I did see a couple episodes. Yeah.
Yes.
How the Other Half Lives.
Yeah, no kidding. So I watched all but one episode, and it is really quite good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
And it actually speeds along pretty quick.
Yeah, it does. They do They do three different people in each episode. The first one was really interesting because it was a young couple, recently married that were renovating a boat to turn it into a houseboat. Ooh. And dude, when they were done, it was beautiful.
Cool.
They worked on it for like a year. There were a lot of really good ones in there. The one with the bunker was my least favorite.
But how about all of that storage up above?
Oh yeah. Yep.
That was sort of crazy, but I could see people, you know, there are some people that think the end of the world's coming real soon.
That is true. That is very true.
But wasn't it, this was the thing that threw me, and I think I described it to you, but now that you saw it, maybe you can give me some of your opinion. They showed it once and it looked like it was in a desert. Then when they finally had it renovated, then there was snow on the ground. So I couldn't figure out where the hell was that.
Uh-huh.
Like, where would you guess that was? Like, Nebraska, maybe?
No. I thought, like, maybe Nevada or something. Because, I mean, it gets really cold in the desert, Nick.
Yeah, and I guess I just never really thought about it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, maybe Montana?
Maybe. Yeah, that was a fun show, though. I have to go back and watch some of it.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. Yeah, the guy with the turnstile, the car with the turnstile was a little ridiculous.
So ridiculous. But wasn't that, I love the quartz wall that was behind the bar.
Yep.
But then, oh my God, was it a dick measuring contest when he was like, oh, the per square foot of this quartz that had to be flown over from Italy and it can't break was such and such per foot. I was just like, oh my God, look at this guy.
Uh-huh.
But I did like the pool table. That like custom made pool table was pretty sharp.
Uh-huh. Yep. It was pretty sweet. So I watched that. There was another one that I watched. Oh God. It was recommended after I watched that. What was it called? Let me see if I can find it. It was, it's only like four episodes.
Mm.
It was a British show. Oh, The World's Most Extraordinary Homes.
Oh boy. I'm sure that's crazy.
It was pretty sweet. Again, there's only four episodes, I think. And, so there's, it's mountain, forest, coast, and underground. And it is freaking awesome, dude. Awesome. Obviously, all these people are loaded. Like the one, I'm trying to think which one was it? Was it the mountain or the coast? But they had built it like right off of a lake and like they had to, the guy I think was an architect, they even had to build like the road up to the property because, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere up on a mountain. So there was no roads or anything. There were no utilities. So they had to run utilities all the way from town to the house. And it was crazy. It looked almost like one of those, container homes, right? Where they take the shipping containers. But it was an actual house and, it was beautiful, like marble inside. There were no walls in the rooms. So like when you walked in, it was the family area And then there were stairs going up, and it was kind of industrial. And then upstairs was, like, the kitchen and the bedrooms and stuff. And there weren't traditional rooms where it had four walls and a door. It was, like, a hallway with, like, each room divided. So you can still freely go from room to room. And obviously, like, that wouldn't work for somebody with kids, I don't think. But this was an older couple. Really nice, though. Same with, like, the forest houses that they showed. I think that guy was also an architect. And they had owned the property for a long time. I don't know. I think it was, like, his parents' house. I think in that one there were two different houses, maybe three. And it was, like, the home was built around this one tree because they didn't want to cut the trees down. Yeah, dude, it's really good. It's called The World's Most Extraordinary Homes.
I'll put that in the queue.
Yeah.
Hey, going back to that interiors.
Yeah.
Was that the same show? And please correct me if I'm wrong. God, if I'm wrong, I will not know the name of the show. But was that the same show that had the guy who fell in love with origami and he wanted his house, the walls of his house, to be able to be moved at a whim? Do you recall that? He was like Italian.
I don't remember that.
And he had like new technology built so he could move the walls however he wanted
but he also
wanted the wheels hidden within the wall.
Yeah, that's the episode I haven't seen. Yeah, same show.
Oh my God, wait till you see that. It is an engineering feat. It was fascinating to watch them try to figure out how to do that.
I didn't watch that because I think that's the same episode that has the lady that has the entire house is pink.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh boy.
I was I'm going to skip this episode.
No, don't skip. You could skip that part of that episode. There was, and then the roommates, like one roommate, like her entire house design is all goth black.
Yeah, yeah.
And then her roommate is like bright, bright fluorescent pink. Yeah, but you could easily skip that part of that episode. But the origami was fascinating.
So out of all the ones that I saw in that show, my most favorite one was my wife's least favorite one. Matter of fact, she thought it was the dumbest one. She flat out said that. So before I tell you, did you have a favorite? Mm-hmm. Did you have a favorite in that show from what you saw?
Probably the origami or that crazy car guy's room.
Okay.
Cause that was just so baller. Like the problem with that guy's man cave, he didn't show you the rest of his house.
Yeah.
Like you saw how beautiful the outside of his house was, but I want to see the entire house, not just like, yeah, I really kicked ass in like three rooms. So here they are.
All right. So again, I don't know how many you saw, but out of the ones that you saw, can you guess which one was my favorite?
Jesus. If well, you already said you didn't like it. My guess would have been the fallout shelter. Because you're ready to head there.
I did like that one, but that was not my favorite.
Which one was?
I didn't like that episode though, because I did not like that guy.
Gotcha.
I liked the house, but that guy seemed like a douchebag.
Yeah.
My favorite one was the guy. He was, I think he was like a newspaper editor or something in Madrid. The Spanish guy. He was awesome. He was like the fat guy with the beard. Anyways, the house that he bought was, I can't remember what it used to be, but it was abandoned when he bought it. In fact,
was this the painted house?
No.
That was my favorite one.
No,
I take it all back. That was my favorite one.
He bought this old abandoned house. That used to be something, and it was so old and so abandoned that the roof had collapsed in half the house.
Jeez.
And instead of fixing it, they used that as the courtyard for the house. And so all he did was on the other half, he put glass walls. And you can't see inside the house because it's all brick on the outside. But once you walk in from the courtyard, you can see that it's all glass on the inside.
It's almost like a dollhouse.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, like how a dollhouse can open up and you look at half of the house, and there's a section of the house cut out.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But it was beautiful because, like, the courtyard was all trees and there was a garden there. And so, of course, like, when you're sitting in the house, like, you look out and you see that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the house from outside the house, it just looks like an abandoned piece of crap.
Yes.
Like, up on a hill. But inside, it was beautiful. It's all modern, all glass, and it was gorgeous.
It was very, and I could see why Heather probably hated it. It was very minimal.
It
was all utilitarian. There was nothing there for comfort.
Yeah.
All for use.
He's like, yeah, this is the living area, and he's like, that's the kitchen. And my wife's like, the kitchen? There's not even a stove in there.
Yep.
Because he didn't have a stove. It was like a little counter with a burner on the side.
Yep. And here's like, a bedroom. There's a bed, and there's a desk, and there's a box for your clothes.
Yep.
Not really a closet, but a box.
I don't think he even had that. He had a rod on one of the windows. That's where he hung all the shirts. I was like, this guy is me in 30 years.
Yes.
And my wife's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. But I thought it was brilliant. That was my favorite one. I thought it was just beautiful.
Oh, that's too funny.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amazing interiors.
So what about this pasta thing?
Oh, the pasta thing. So you and I talk about food all the time on the show, because you and I are foodies, like pinky sideways foodies, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes pinky up. And friend of the show, Michael Sparkman, he's like, I want you to send me this pasta recipe, because I guess you and I talked about pasta not too long ago. And I was like, well, I'm not going to give you the pasta recipe, because I don't know if you've ever made pasta, Nick, but pasta is very hard to make. There's a reason why people go to the store and buy a box of spaghetti. And the reason is, if you were to make spaghetti, it would take all day.
Yep.
So I was like, I'm not going to give you the pasta recipe because it's too much work. But I will give you my gnocchi recipe. Because gnocchi is very easy to make, and it is delicious, and it's very filling. So for anybody, have you had gnocchi before?
I certainly have. Okay. I've never made it, though.
So I grew up making it. My parents used to make gnocchi, like, I think it was the first Sunday or the last Sunday of the month. I can't remember what it is. Like, there's some kind of tradition in my family that, like, there's like a gnocchi day. I don't know. It might have been the last Sunday of the month. Anyway, so I grew up making this, and it's very easy to make. For anyone that's never had gnocchi, it's almost like a dumpling. And it's not made like traditional pasta with just flour and water and eggs. It's made with potatoes. And so that's why it's extremely filling. So I'm going to give you the base rules for making proper gnocchi. You will need at least one potato per person. You will need half a cup of flour per potato, and you will need one egg per 5 potatoes. So that's the ratio. One potato per person, half a cup per potato, one egg per 5 potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is you boil the potatoes. You can do it with the skin on or skin off, however you want to do it. I've always done it skin off. So you peel the potato, boil it for 20 minutes. You can do it the other way. I just find it a little harder to peel the potato, when it's hot. Now the skin does come off easier, but if you have a potato peeler, like, who gives a crap? All right. So you boil the potato for 20 minutes. You take it out. You let it cool down some. You rice it. If you don't have a ricer, I guess you can use a masher, but it's not going to be the same consistency. You rice the potato, and then you mix it with the flour. You need like a pretty basic dough. And then once you have some kind of doughy consistency, you put the egg in it, and then you keep kneading until you have a pretty good dough. And there's enough moisture in the potato where you don't need to add milk or water or anything like that. And then the egg gives it a little stickiness, and it gives it a little moisture. Once you have that, you don't want to knead it too much. I don't know how much kneading you've done, but you can't over-knead dough. You just want it so it's not grainy, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's not grainy, you're pretty much good to go. Once you do that, you take your dough, you cut it into slices, and then you take those slices, you roll them out into like long cylinders of dough, and then you cut the little cylinders of dough in like, I don't know, inch increments. Really depends on the size of the gnocchi that you want. And that's your basic gnocchi. If you want at this point, you can go ahead and cook them. All you gotta do is just get some water, you boil it, you throw them in, and when they start floating, they're done. takes like 5 minutes. Basically all you're doing is cooking the egg out for the most part. What we traditionally did in my family, and traditionally you do this more for the shape than anything else, because it doesn't add flavor or anything. You pass, my parents had a little gnocchi tool. It looks like, I don't know how you would describe it. It's almost like a really thin spatula, and it's got grooves on the end. And basically you roll the gnocchi that you cut out individually through this little tool. If you don't have that tool, it's not that big a deal. You can use a fork. You just take the fork and you kind of roll it onto the gnocchi. So you get like the little stripes on it, and it also kind of folds into itself, almost like a shell. And then you can boil it after that. Again, just 5 minutes. Let the water boil, throw them in. When they float to the top, you're done. Very easy to make gnocchi. And that's my gnocchi recipe.
What about if they want to use ricotta cheese?
So you can do cheese gnocchi while you're making the dough. At the same time that you add the egg in, you can just throw in like a half a cup of ricotta and like a half a cup of mozzarella if you want. And you knead that into the dough, and you can do it that way.
Ah, gotcha.
But other than that, you don't need to do anything else. It is the simplest pasta you can make. Even though there's a lot of prepping, because you're like cutting out little pieces and rolling them on your fork or whatever. Even through all that, it's still much easier than any other kind of pasta you can make.
Gnocchi's yummy.
Gnocchi's yummy. And then in terms of sauce, we don't do sauce. I just always served it with, Parmesan cheese on top, and that's it. A little basil.
Nice.
But you can do, I mean, with gnocchi, you want like a tomato sauce. You want something a little heartier.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Like a cream sauce?
No, no cream sauce.
No cream sauce.
A nice ragu, as we say.
The ho.
Not ragu the brand. Ragu is Italian for pasta sauce.
Now, what kind of ragu would you get? Would you get their basil?
I wouldn't get any sauce. I would make the sauce myself. Shame on you for saying that. Shame on you for saying that. No, I don't allow store-bought sauce in my house.
Just trying to slip you up.
They do sneak it in every so often. But generally, I don't allow it. No, you just want to do a nice tomato sauce, a tomato ragu. Just use fresh tomatoes, boil them up. You start adding your ingredients, whatever spices you want. You thicken it up with a little bit of flour, and you're good to go. You don't need a whole lot to make a good sauce. You do want to let it kind of simmer for 30 minutes to an hour. All the flavors blend in. But other than that, no big deal. I do like... If I do a ragu on my gnocchi, I do like ground beef in it, but not necessary.
Gotcha.
And contrary to popular belief, the sauce on pasta is just a condiment. It is not the main part of eating pasta.
You don't throw a gallon of it right on it?
God, I hate that. Dude, whenever we buy sauce, like one jar of sauce will last like three different pasta dinners.
Not three plates?
Not three plates. And I think that's what most people do, right? They just throw a whole jar in with the spaghetti.
You don't need a bowl of it?
No,
A bowl to capture your entire sauce?
It's a little sauce for your pasta, not a little pasta for your sauce.
Right. I like it.
Yeah. But gnocchi's the best. Now I want to make some and I don't have potatoes.
No. What about ricotta?
I do have ricotta.
Oh, there you go. Maybe you could make it.
But not without potatoes.
I thought you could just use ricotta straight, period.
To make gnocchi?
That's what I heard.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Or you can use flour with it. That's what I thought.
I don't know about that. That sounds like some Chicago stuff.
Yeah! Hot dog.
Chicago-style gnocchi.
Mm-mm-mm.
But yeah, good stuff. The season finale of the 100 just happened, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Good, huh?
God, was it good. I know it's not your thing, but you should be watching this show.
I know. It's on Netflix.
It is on Netflix. Matter of fact, the season just ended, which means it'll be on Netflix probably this week or next.
Oh.
If it's not on there already. Yeah, it was really good. Changer. Game changer, I would say.
Hmm.
Yeah. I was a little upset because this year's season was shorter than previous ones.
Mm-hmm.
But... very good setup for next season.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I just found out season 1 through 3 of Fargo is on Hulu, so I will be going to watch season 3 of Fargo.
Interesting.
I've yet to see it.
I've never seen season 3.
Same here.
We started it, and my wife hated the first episode, and we never went back to it.
Oh, no.
Like, that's how much she hated it, because she loved the hell out of seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't even want to watch the rest of this.
Aw.
Yep. My wife and I are total opposites, man. I don't know. I told her, I was like, you got to give it at least one arc. She's like, nope, I'm done. Yeah. I'm going to go watch Breaking Bad for the 300th time.
Right. Of course.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Has she flipped over to Better Call Saul?
I think she watched one season of it and she hasn't gone back to it. So I'm assuming she didn't like it that much.
It didn't grab her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, understandable.
Yep. She did watch The Wonderful Whites of West Virginia last night.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
No clue.
So the Whites are this extremely redneck family. And I say that very lovingly and they wholeheartedly admit to it. They are redneck to the extreme. They are from West Virginia and they are the craziest family I've ever seen in my life. And they're like local celebrities in West Virginia because they're so outrageous. And, it's a documentary kind of following the day to day of this family and how effed up they are.
Oh no.
Yeah. They're all like alcoholic drug addicts. They're in jail all the time. There's some commentary on there about like, coal miner culture. Kind of interesting, but, yeah, my wife watches it like at least once a year. It's funny, but also depressing at the same time that people are this way.
Sheesh. No, thank you. I'll take a pass.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't blame you. Matter of fact, Johnny Knoxville, directed the documentary.
Oh boy. Okay. Yep.
And, Hank Williams III is in there. Not as a member of the documentary, but he's in there every once in a while singing about this family. Yeah. All right. I think it's time to wrap it up, Nick.
That sounds good.
The longest episode in quite a while, I must say.
Yeah, it helps when you don't have to work tomorrow.
So yes, I'll be jealous. Does. Yes, it does.
When I'm driving in at 5, I'll be jealous.
I'll be thinking of you when I'm doing a whole lot of nothing.
Don't be thinking of me. Just do a whole lot of nothing.
If you want to get in touch with us, Nick is at Nick Wetmore on Twitter. I am at Geekvine, and the show is at Nerdy Legion. I think that's it. We'll be back. I think we'll probably record again this week. So we'll see you next week. Buh-bye.